Kellogg, National City, California. November 25, 1904. Dr. Kellogg, Battle Creek, Michigan. My dear brother, you say that you have written me several letters but have not heard from me. I have not been well for some time. I was unfortunate in taking cold when speaking in the large tent at the Omaha camp meeting. The ground was high and dry, but still I caught cold. I spoke twice at that camp meeting and succeeded in making the people hear, though at one meeting there were 1,500 present. From Omaha, we went to College View. I was unaccustomed to the high winds there, and my cold got no better. I continued to sneeze and cough a great deal, but when I stood before the people, all this ceased. We were well cared for at College View, and all that could be done for our comfort was done. We met many old friends. I was enabled to speak in the church Sabbath, Sunday, and Monday. I also spoke to the patients and nurses. I did not get free from cold while I was there, and it continued its hold on me all the way home. I went to Battle Creek, as you know, and spoke twice to the patients and once in the gymnasium to the nurses and helpers. I would have been very glad could I have felt free to remain another week in Battle Creek. I would have done this, but Marion's sickness called me home. Her case was a heavy weight on my mind. We received letters every day telling us of her increasing weakness. The thought that I must part with her was a great trial to me. She had been with me for 25 years, and we blended nicely in our work. I knew that if she should die, I could not find another to supply her place. Our ideas in regard to the work were one, and we often talked together. Every word that I spoke to make a point clearer, she would write out at once. I was so thoroughly worn out when I reached home that I feared a severe sickness was coming upon me. We found Marion very weak indeed. She was at the sanitarium, and Mrs. Kellogg, her sister, was with her. Mrs. Kellogg and Sarah were with Marion at the time of her death. She passed away very peacefully, and we feel that we can indeed say, "Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Revelation 14, verse 13. A few days before her death, we decided to go to Los Angeles, for our tickets were good only till the 3rd of November. We spoke to Dr. Evans about this, and he advised us to go, saying that we could be sent for whenever necessary. We decided to go on Monday, the day before her death, but we felt held to remain at home one more day. On Tuesday morning, we received word that she had lost consciousness at about 7 o'clock. We at once decided not to go to Los Angeles that day. She died at 4:30 Tuesday afternoon. The funeral was held the next day. She was laid away in the St. Helena Cemetery. I miss her greatly and shall continue to, for she was a most faithful and efficient worker. After all was over, we started south, leaving home Friday morning. Hearing that Dr. Hare was in Fresno, we decided to go to Los Angeles that way. We spent Sabbath in Fresno, and I spoke in our church there to a large congregation. The Lord gave me freedom. We intended to go on to Los Angeles Saturday night, but failed to secure accommodations on the train. We decided to go down to the Hanford-Lemoore district and spend the day visiting old friends. When we reached Hanford, we found that a missionary convention was in progress, and I was urged to speak that afternoon. We took dinner with Sister Harvey Gray, and she begged us to remain for 3 or 4 days, saying that I could attend the meetings to be held in the towns nearby and speak to the people. She urged me so strongly to remain that I consented, and I spoke every afternoon for the next 4 days, twice at Hanford, once at Lemoore, and once at Armona. When on my feet before the people, I seemed to be stronger than I have been for years. But when I got home, my strength seemed to leave me. I felt worn out and could not write.
From Hanford, we went to Los Angeles, where we stayed over Sabbath and Sunday. We were given rooms in the building above the vegetarian restaurant, but, as you know, it is a very noisy part of the city, and I did not sleep well. I spoke on Sabbath and Sunday in the large tent in which Brother Simpson has been holding meetings. On Sabbath, there were 2,500 present, and on Sunday, 1,000. Brother Simpson has been holding tent meetings in Los Angeles for several months, and as a result of his labors, about 100 have taken their stand for the truth. He talks on the prophecies, showing very clearly the reasons of our faith and explaining the first, second, and third angels' messages. He brings out very distinctly the truth for this time, and this truth is taking hold upon minds. Night after night, the large tent has been crowded, and many have stood on the outside. The Lord has impressed the people in a wonderful manner. The interest that Brother Simpson has aroused is a remarkable one. Many are accepting the truth and are doing all they can to help in the advancement of the truth. Brother Simpson presents the truth just as it was presented in past years. He has a system of charts that is the most perfect thing of its kind that I have ever seen. At his request, I had a long conversation with him, and I know that he is sound on every point of our faith and that the power of God is with him. I wish that there were 100 where there is one awakened to proclaim the last message to be given to our world. The people are hungry, starving for Bible truth. Brother Simpson makes clear and plain the positions that we have held for so many years. He has portions of his discourses printed, and these leaflets are widely distributed in the city of Los Angeles. Those who have recently accepted the truth have been heartily united in helping to sustain this work, which is self-supporting, and so far, means has come in for all the notices and leaflets that have been sent out. The day after we reached Los Angeles, several of us went out to see the sanitarium building at Glendale. I think you told me that you have seen this building. I think it is well adapted for sanitarium purposes, and that it is in a beautiful location. At present, preparations are being made for the opening of the institution. Bathrooms are being put up, and those who come for treatment will be given good accommodations. I went over the whole building, and I am very much pleased with all the arrangements. The sanitarium has 5 acres of land. I wish there was more land in connection with the building, but still, it is certainly in the country, for there are no buildings very near it. It is surrounded by large fields of strawberries and by orange orchards, and they have enough land to furnish all the patients who wish with outdoor employment, which is of such benefit to those who wish to regain their health. From Los Angeles, we came to San Diego, and for 2 weeks we have been staying in the sanitarium building 5 miles out of San Diego. We find that Brother Palmer has done faithful and economical work in repairing and partly fitting up this building. Preparations are now being hastened for the opening of this institution, for already several persons have expressed themselves as anxious to come here for treatment. It is rather strange to think that I should be the first patient in the building. I have been sick ever since I have been here. I have had a very sore throat and a dry, hard cough, which at times seemed as if it would take away my breath. Sarah has given me thorough treatment, and I am improving, though slowly. The members of the San Diego church were very anxious to hear me, and I spoke to them the first Sunday after coming here, driving 6 miles there and 6 miles back. But I was so weak that my voice would not come to me, and I spoke only for 15 minutes. I should certainly have fainted in the stand had I remained longer. I had to give up and have not tried to speak since. I have a beautiful sunny room, but my cough does not seem to leave me. I think the dry atmosphere here affects me as it does in Colorado. Next week we shall go to Los Angeles, and as soon as possible we shall return to St. Helena. We were surprised to find that so much had already been done toward preparing this building for the reception of patients. By taking advantage of several sales of furniture by wealthy peoples leaving the district, Brother Palmer secured several lots of first-class furniture at a very low price, and we found more rooms furnished than we had expected to find. The furniture is very good. Some of it is bird's-eye maple, and it is all solid and of the best made.
I must not forget to tell you about the well. For some time, the workmen have been busy digging a well on the lower part of the sanitarium ground. When they got down 50 feet, they found a little water. They went down still farther, through the clay, to the gravel below. Several mornings ago, Brother Palmer came to my room with his face full of joy. and said that the water was flowing into the well in a stream as big as his hand. Just before this, Brother Ballinger, Sister Gotzian, and Willie had gone to Escondido to hold some meetings there in behalf of the sanitarium enterprise. They were very successful, getting donations to the amount of $600, besides two good cows and some chickens. They came back well pleased. They returned Tuesday night, and on Wednesday morning, Brother Palmer and Willie came to my room and told me that there was 15 feet of water in the well. The next morning, there was 18 feet of water, and the workers are pumping hard to get the water out, for they wish to go a few feet farther down so as to make a reservoir for the water that flows in. I am so glad that we shall have no dearth of water. The report is that the water in the new well is soft and pure. The old well has never yet gone dry, and at present the house is supplied from this well. I think that when the new well is in operation, there will be water enough for all domestic and irrigating purposes. The view from the west windows of the sanitarium building is beautiful. From them can be seen Paradise Valley, and beyond, the Pacific Ocean. In the evening, when the last rays of the setting sun make a path of gold across the water, the view is especially fine.